Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you for that word that's anointed, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear what you would want us to hear today from this word that you've given me. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Well, today we're going to continue our message on faith. And God has just stirred this word up in me and just some things that I knew but didn't know. You know what I mean? And just to believe God. So today we're going to continue talking about faith, but we're going to go back for just a few minutes to all the way back to Genesis. And in Genesis 2:17, God tells Adam that in the day he eats of the forbidden fruit, he said that you will surely die. And Adam does not fall to a physical death, but a spiritual death. And so we see this separation from God in Genesis 3:8. So, and the word says that when they heard the voice of God, or the voice of the Lord, they hid themselves from the presence of God. And so that fellowship had been broken between them and God. They were now spiritually dead and not alive to him. And so it's like a person without Christ is spiritually dead. And so they could not discern spiritual things, just like a sinner can't discern spiritual things. And they could not see into the realm of the Spirit anymore or live by the realm of the Spirit anymore. And they no longer walked with God as one. And the natural senses began to take over. So they began to live by that. And in their way of thinking, and the way of thinking changed, their perspective of what was around them changed. They looked at life different now that they were spiritually dead. In Ephesians 4:18, Paul describes it as being excluded from the life of God. And the natural man, like Adam hiding in the garden, is isolated from God. And so when we are born again, spiritual death is reversed. And you all heard me say that when you got saved and you accepted Jesus and you were born again, you were excited. Why? Because you got your spirit man became born again and you were connected back to the one that created you in the first place. Amen? So you became one with God. So before salvation, though, before we were a child of God, we were dead spiritually, but Jesus gave us life. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And in Galatians 2:13, it says, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ and forgave you of all your sins." So when we were saved, born again, our spirit man, as I said, is reconnected back to our Creator, back to the one that created us, and now we are alive spiritually. And the spirit part of it is the real us. We are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul, which is our will and mind. And Romans 5:1 says, we'll give you a lot of scripture. "Therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God." We're no longer enemies with God. "And the joy of reconciliation with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." And we go on down to verse 15. He says, "But the free gift of God is not like the trespass, because the gift of grace overwhelms the fall of man. For if many died by one man's trespasses," which is Adam's sin, "much more abundantly did God's grace and the gift that comes by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to benefit the many." So the way it has been made back to God. Amen. So I said all of that to remind us this morning that we are not just poor spiritual beggars trying to get through this life, hoping that maybe God will come through for us. Maybe His promise will work for us. Maybe it won't. But now that we are born again, born of God, we have unlimited resources available to us to live in this life now as sons and daughters of God. Because we have been made alive to God through salvation and accepting that. So we now can live this life, experience, and receive all that has already been made available to us. We have unlimited resources, church, that's not in this realm. And that is where our faith comes in. That is where faith comes in. So when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, became a son and daughter of God, faith at that moment took residence in your heart. Because Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." So you have the gift of faith in you that was given to you by God. Faith is the greatest gift that we can be given. Why? Because it causes us to look outside of the natural realm into the spiritual realm where the resources are to live life in this earth now. So it is what's given us the ability to go outside of this visible realm that we see, touch, and taste, and feel on a daily basis to say, hey, there is more to life than just barely getting by. There is an unlimited resource in the invisible realm that we see as a son and daughter by faith. Amen? So to receive by faith what is already in the spiritual realm, receiving that which has already been done in the finished work of Jesus. So what we receive through faith already depends entirely on Jesus' finished work. Grace has made all things available to us, and it's what apprehends what has already been made available. Because religion tries to get you to work for something that's already there. So faith is trying to not make something real. It is already real. Whether you believe it or not, it's already real. It's already true. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 6 and 7 says, "So then, being always filled with good courage and confident hope, and knowing that while we're at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith." Paul says, "Now the life I live by faith in the Son of God." Amen. So, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, when we talk about sight, we're talking about the natural senses of what we can taste, see, touch, and feel around us. Amen. So, "We walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." So Paul is saying, we've not made it home yet. We've not made it to heaven yet, our eternal home. We're not there yet. We're absent from the Lord, meaning that we've not got our glorified bodies yet. But he says, while you're here at home in your body, we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. So in the meantime, we live by faith, not by sight. So there is this natural world that we live in every day. We live life here every day. And there is a spiritual world that's been made available to us as sons and daughters of God. And until your spirit man is reborn again and you begin to get into the Word, and you've already been made alive, that which is already there begins to quicken in you, that you begin to say, "My spirit bears witness with that. My spirit bears witness with that." So in this natural world, we are subject to, now we operate by our senses, what we feel, see, taste, and all of that. But that, well, we don't go by that. We don't operate our lives by that. because we are called to live in another dimension. Amen. So as we grow and as we mature in the things of God, the spiritual world should be becoming more and more real to us. As we grow and mature in God, it's left up to every person as to how far you want to go in your relationship with God. You know, you've seen some people save 20 years and they're still talking the same way. They're still believing the same way. Why? Because it's not that they're not saved. It's that they're not giving themselves to the Word to allow the Word to change them. But the spiritual world should be becoming more and more real to us. So faith is trust in action by believing what God has already done. So it apprehends what, like I said before, what is already being made available to us, done in the finished work of Jesus. So the only thing that should move us is what the Word says. Not any other report should move us except what the Word says. So when you get that report that's contrary to the Word, you can say, but God. But this is the Word. This is what the Word is saying. So now God has already moved. So now it's our turn to move. God has done everything that He's already going to do. He's waiting for somebody to take a hold of what has already been done and bring it into this natural realm, because it will supersede it. So Hebrews 19:22 said, let us draw near. Let us. That means that's action on our part. That's something we do. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. So how do we draw near to God? Find out about His character. Find out about that He is a God of love. That He is a healing God. That He is a God of mercy and grace. That's how you draw near to someone, is by getting to know that person. Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So I have found out that those things that God has already provided for me on my behalf is not just going to fall in my lap, so to speak. It's something that I have to pursue. It's something that I have to go after, because your flesh will want to make you stay the same way that you are. So if something's not working in your life, try to figure out, maybe it's something that I need to do to draw near to God. We have an active role to play in that relationship. So we must draw near. I must pursue it, want it, what God has already wanted for me all along. He wants to be a part of your life more than you want it at the moment. Amen. He wants more than you do. So the faith you already have has been given is enough to overcome any situation in life. Faith is not something that you have to work up, that you have to make happen. That you have to say, I need to do this, I need to pray longer, I need to come to church more, I need to give more, then I'm going to have more faith. No, it's a gift that's been given to you. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you have that measure of faith. And that measure of faith will grow as much as you allow yourself to pursue what the Word says. That is how your faith grows. So since God is no respecter of person, He has not given you a little bit, me a little bit, and that one more. He's given us all the same. The same. So what we do with that measure, though, as I said, is left up to us. It's left up to every son and daughter of God that has given you that measure. It will grow according to how much you expose yourself to the Word. So how does it grow and why does it grow? Because you begin to get in there and you begin to learn about grace. And then all at once your faith is like, yeah, I can believe that. Then you get in there and you'll find out something else. yeah, God's for me and not against me. And your faith gets to begin to be bigger than you just begin to believe more. Amen. And you begin to see it come past in your life. So the word is faith food to your spirit man. And the more you feed it, the more it will grow. That nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. At Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. The word is faith, though. It is what activates the faith that we have. You begin to get in there, and you begin to say, oh, okay, that's what God is saying about that. Okay, God, you know, okay. Okay, it's my move now. So why doesn't the scripture just read, if faith comes by hearing the word of God, instead of faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God? Before men can believe, before a person can believe, there must be something presented to them to believe. So that's why teachers and preachers and those that are called get up and present the word to you, okay? And we'll say, this is what you live your life by. This is your roadmap on this earth and how you're supposed to live life and to believe. So that is something that we present is the word of God. This word is alive. It's not dead, but it's alive. And Romans 10:16 says, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So sometimes you're thinking, who is believing what I am saying? So the word for report in Romans 10:16 and hearing for Romans 10:17 comes from the same word, but was just a slight different meaning. In the first part of Romans 10:17, it says, so that faith comes by hearing, or faith comes by report. Whose report are you going to believe? Faith comes by report, which involves the one that's presenting the word and those that hear, which is reported by the ministry of the word being presented. Whose report are you going to believe? So instead of saying, here it comes by Romans, back a while ago we read that says, back over here, where am I at here? So then faith cometh by report, and hearing by the word of the Lord. By that report from the Lord. So we sing a song that says, whose report are you going to believe? And we said it 3 or 4 times this morning. In the second part of verse 10:17, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's what we believe. That is our report. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The Amplified Bible reads this, for the word of God is living, active, and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. That's why when you get that report that's contrary to the word, put the report of the Lord on it. And it begins to do something to that negative report that's contrary to the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Powerful comes from the Greek word E-N-E-G-R-E-S, meaning to the English word energetic. Something at work. Something that's active and effective. So how many times have we heard somebody say, this is what will be preached or taught today, and we have the attitude, well, oh gosh, I've heard that before. Surely we're not going to hear another message on faith. Surely we're not going to hear another message on tongues. But he's saying, you know, Lord, I'm going to draw near to you, and I'm going to hear something from that report today that I've not heard before. Have a teachable spirit. Your attitude should be that. I believe that I'm going to hear something that I've not heard before, because your word is active, it's powerful, it's energetic, and it's energizing me. Amen? So that's why when you hear that word, and all at once it's like, yeah. And there's something that rises up on inside of you, and your spirit begins to bear witness with, yes, that's truth. So that word is no longer a logos word, but becomes a rhema word for any situation that you may need at that time in your life. The scripture in Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word means the logos, which is the entirety of the scriptures. But with the rhema, it refers to a spoken word that's spoken at that moment, that enlightens your spirit man, that becomes a, yeah, that's a rhema word at that moment. When you all at once, your spirit man just, whoo, that's a rhema word from the logos word, the entirety word of God that's been written. But that situation in your life, and we've heard quite a few rhema words this morning, amen? So that is a weapon from the spirit, the word of God, the logos word, that has at that moment, receiving a rhema word, calling forth the faith that's already in you, calling forth the faith that is already in you to stand on the written word, the logos word, the promises of God. So walking by faith, not by sight, not by our senses, our taste, touch, and feel in everyday living. We're not believing for something that is not already real to become, that isn't real to become real. That's not where our believing and faith comes in. We're not white knuckling it, so to speak, that if I just believe hard enough, that if I just believe long enough, that if I just sing long enough, that it'll happen. We just need to have a calm spirit that says, God, you said it, therefore I believe it. I may not have no evidence of it yet, but I draw near to you in full assurance of faith that if I find it in here and I have no evidence of it yet, it still doesn't make it not true because you have spoken it. You have spoken it. So we're not believing for something that isn't real to become real, that already, or to make something magical happen. It's already a done deal. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Amplified Bible reads it, Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality." Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses, what we were talking about a while ago. The verse tells us that faith is conviction that we have that regards something that allows us to be able to act on it as if it were assured of happening. And in other words, you already see yourself healed. You already see yourself prosperous. You already see yourself victorious because of what the Word says. Faith is an assurance. It's been given to us, a gift, to access the invisible realm and bring it here in our everyday living life. It is the evidence of things not seen, not things that don't exist, because they already exist, church. They're already there. Your healing is already there. Your peace is already there. So we have got to stop living so much in the natural realm and begin to walk by the Spirit and by what the Word says. So we don't take the faith we have been given and try to make something real that is not already real. Just because we've not experienced it yet doesn't make it real. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith." The faith that's already been given to us as a gift. Author is an originator of something. He's the originator of our faith. He has begun it. Author also means captain or prince. So he is the captain of your faith. So we need to get him out of the co-passenger seat and co-pilot and put him as the pilot of our faith. And just follow him where he's leading. So perfecter is used only one time in the New Testament, and it means complete or finisher. He that started a good work in you is able to bring it to completion. Amen. So God has created our faith, and he will sustain our faith. He will with withhold us up. He will hold us up. That is why we can live by faith and not by sight, because he started it, he's going to finish it, and he perfects it in us, and he's the captain of it. He is a sustainer of our daily walk. My spirit man is going faster than my mouth can talk. 2 Kings, I will give you an example of this. 2 Kings, Laverne was talking a little bit about a while ago. Elijah, the prophet of God, in 2 Kings 6, was revealing the Syrians' battle plans to King Israel. And every time the king of Syria tried to ambush the king of Israel, Elisha would warn the king of Israel that he would ambush the Syrians. So it began to happen so often. This began to happen so often that the king of Syria finally asked his servants, "You need to reveal to me who this traitor is." So the king of Syria began to think that the king of Israel could not be doing this without some inside information. Aren't you glad we got some inside information for those that aren't born again in the world and people out there that are just living by their senses? They don't know about it. That's why they think we're crazy sometimes when we choose to believe and to stand. So one of the king of Syria's servants said, "Elisha, the prophet of God was revealing the words that the king of Syria said in his bedchamber to the king of Israel. The king of Syria sent his armies to capture Elisha. And in 2 Kings 6:15, it says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'My master, how shall we do?'" So Elisha's servants saw the Syrian troops, and he panicked because he knew that they were there. And they had discovered Elisha was the one with the inside information, telling the king of Syria's battle plans to take Israel. This is a good movie plot, isn't it? So look at the response of Elisha in this situation. 2 Kings 16, he says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." So he had to see something that other people wasn't seeing. Amen. So, church, we've got to begin to see things that others may not see. That's why you see yourself healed and prospering and whole. That's why you see your children walking in the will and call of God for their lives. Why? Because you've got some inside information. Hallelujah. That's not available just to anybody, but available to those that believe and know that they have the faith to receive. Amen. So look at the response in Elisha, as I said a while ago. "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." So the people that don't believe anything exists beyond their senses, as we was talking a while ago, about this natural realm, our taste, touch, and see in this natural life, living in this, would say that Elisha was lying. Said he can't, what he's saying can't be true. He must be lying because they didn't see anything. So he was confessing something was so when it really wasn't, they said, hoping that it would become so. But church, that wasn't the way it was at all. Elijah spoke the truth because he's seen beyond this visible realm. There was more with him than was with the Syrian army. And it's just that Elijah's forces were in the unseen reality. So I ask you today, what are you seeing? Are you just seeing what's around you, that there's no hope, there's no way? But are you getting a vision of things that are beyond this natural realm? So the key to understanding is to recognize that there is a realm, a reality beyond this physical world. And you know, Elisha would have been lying if he would have been lying if all that exists was this physical world. But that's not all that exists. It's just this physical world. And when you think about it, we're just here just for a little while. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And when we get so comfortable and mingle in with the ways of the world, Amen. It will bring us back into living in the natural and not the supernatural, where we're supposed to be living, because that is the real us. Because we were created in the image of God, but He made a way for us to come back. Amen. Jesus paid the price for us to come back to Him. Elijah and his servant, but Elijah wasn't lying, because there was another world of reality that he had seen. So if you look at the whole picture, the physical and spiritual world, then Elijah was right on. Because in the spiritual realm, there were many horses, more horses and chariots of fire around Elisha than there was the Syrian troops. And according to 2 Kings 6:17, it says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray that you'd open their eyes. And that's what we have to pray, church, for the world out there and for those that are unsaved. Lord, that you would open their eyes to see that there is much more to life than what they're experiencing right now. And the Lord opened their eyes of the young man. He saw what Elijah was seeing. And God was opening their spiritual eyes to be able to see and to be able to discern what Elijah was seeing. And so Gehazi's physical eyes were already wide opening, but God was opening his spiritual eyes. He was able to see what Elisha was seeing all along. He was seeing something beyond the natural at that moment. And so when he opened his eyes, Gehazi opened his eyes, the Syrians didn't disappear. They were still there. The physical truth was still true, but there was a greater spiritual truth that emerged. And if you will continue to believe God with the faith that you already have, the spiritual will overtake the natural. Because why? Because this word is energetic. It's full of life. It's full of power. Amen. So truth faith doesn't deny this that's around us. It just refuses to allow that around us to dominate spiritual truth. It says, I'm not going there. I know what I see. I know what I touch. I know what I taste. I know what I feel. But there's a greater truth that's beginning to emerge in this situation. And I see it more than I see the natural. I see it more than I see the natural. Because Elijah believed in the realities of the spiritual world, he raised his hand and smote all the Syrians with blindness. And he led the whole army captive to the king of Israel. So Elijah wasn't just white-knuckled and believing and just hoping and just, you know, wishful thinking. That's not faith. Faith just says, I choose to believe what God has already said to be of truth more than what I see around me. I choose to believe that till it becomes so strong in me that no matter what happens, I can't be talked out of it. Because I've seen it with my spiritual eyes and not with my natural eyes. Amen. So as you leave here today, the church is to be a filling station for those of us that are born again. You know, people say you need to bring the sinners to get church and get them saved. Why would a sinner want to come to church? They know nothing about the church. We should take the church to them, bring them in, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, teach them the Word of God that they can go back out there. Amen. So the church is a filling station that you come in and you get filled with the Word, which is more real than anything that you can walk out there. Take that Word and be the church. Be Jesus to somebody that may not have no Jesus around them. Amen. Take the Word to them. You have enough faith in you to overcome any situation that comes up against you this week. Any report, we choose to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you for your Word that's powerful, that's operating for our good even now. We thank you for the faith that you've given to us, a gift to be able to operate in our everyday life, to bring the spiritual realm into the natural realm, and to allow the truth of your Word to dominate any report that we may get this week. We walk in the favor of the Lord. And I speak a blessing over these people right now in the name of Jesus. I speak over you that you are highly favored, that you are blessed of the Lord coming and going, that you are the head and not the tail. And the light of the Lord shines upon you this week. And that your prayers have gone before the Father. And He is working behind the scenes of some situations and things. And He's just putting some final touches on some things. Continue to believe. And continue to receive. And continue to speak forth the report of the Lord. Be blessed. Amen. And go in Jesus' name.